Good morning and welcome to Shattering Mess. I am Yada. Each weekday here on the Genesis Communication Network, we strive to expose the destructive and deadly myths which are associated with religion and politics, patriotism in the media, and with military and economic schemes. Instead of merely presenting the news, our mission is to understand what is occurring behind the headlines, all while considering how these events will shape our world over the next 20 years. Then during our second hour, we engage God on His terms by way of His covenant and through His always dependable Torah teaching, so that with His guidance we can all replace religion with reason and engage in a relationship with Him. Our phone number over the next 2 hours, toll-free, for anyone who would like to participate in our discussion, it is 877-300-7645. I'm always entertained by SRN News, SRN, Salem Radio Network. It is a all-Christian network, and so they have their own news arm. And so this Christian employee talks about the riots in Bangladesh, and the one thing that he mentions is that they're rioting for stronger anti-blasphemy laws. And if you know you're a Christian, you say, oh yeah, oh, blasphemy's bad. You shouldn't say God damn it. God damn it, don't say God damn it. So blasphemy's bad. Boy, those guys are really good. Boy, there's a moral society. Why aren't we so moral in America? Well, you know, the Hebrew word that is changed to blasphemy actually says that you should not belittle the name of God. You should not take the name of God and cause it to be for naught, which is exactly what these same Christians have done, because there isn't one in a thousand of them, maybe not even one in 100,000 of them, that doesn't belittle God's name by calling him by the satanic title Lord, almost never calling him by his actual name, Yahweh. And when you stop using his name, when you devalue his name, then you are actually committing blasphemy. And of course, then they have their mythical character called Jesus Christ. When there is no one named Jesus, Christ is not a last name. He was not Greek, and therefore a Greek name and a Greek title are absurd when applied to him. But this combination says that these Christians who think, hey, well, now the Bangladeshis, they are really with us, anti-blasphemy laws. We're side by side. Yeah, they are. Equally stupid. Equally indoctrinated. That is not, however, what the fundamentalist Muslims in Bangladesh are protesting. By the way, the death toll now of the number of women who were essentially enslaved by the religion of Islam in the garment factory that collapsed. You know, it was originally 300, and it said, oh, you know, it might go to 400. And yet you looked at the number of employees and said, oh, no, it's going to be much greater than that. Well, it was 500 yesterday as we talked. It's now 700. And yet the protesters in Bangladesh, in the reports that there are up to 500,000 of them, what they're protesting is against women's rights. Not protesting in favor of women's rights, which you might think, well, you know, in the wake of having 700 women killed because your religion treats them like slaves, you might want to speak out in favor of women's rights. No, not these morons. Their primary objective is no rights for women. They want women to have no education. They want women to not be able to work. They want women to be forced to stay in their homes. They want women to be under the absolute control of men. They want the same conditions for women that exist in Saudi Arabia, where women have less rights than a domesticated animal has in most countries in the world. They have a second agenda. Their second agenda is they want anyone who isn't a Muslim killed. If you are an atheist, if you're an agnostic, if you are a Hindu, if you're a Buddhist, if you are a Christian, if you are a Jew, they want you dead. And of course, the other thing that they want is that if anyone says anything derogatory about Muhammad, which, by the way, is impossible not to do if you know anything about him, they want you killed. You know, the Quran and Hadith are the only viable sources of information about Muhammad. They present Muhammad as a ruthless terrorist, as a mass murderer, as a rapist, as incestuous, as a pedophile, as a slave trader, as a thief, and as a liar. And that's what the Islamic sources have to say about him. So it is a sad story. We did learn this morning that the death count escalated from what was 3 yesterday to 20 now. More than 100 have been injured as they're still rioting in the Bangladeshi capital of Dhaka. Police are using stun guns and rubber bullets to disperse Hefazat-e-Islam. By the way, it's impossible for even the media to call these folks linked to Al-Qaeda. It's impossible to say that they are radicals because this particular Islamic organization exists exclusively as a derivative of the graduates of Islamic madrasas. These are fundamentalist Muslims who were educated in Islamic schools. Hundreds of thousands of Islamics gathered into the city. This is a quote from one of the eyewitnesses. Rioters vandalized markets, set fire to bookshops where the Holy Quran is sold. Remember all the people that the Taliban killed in Afghanistan and all of the uproar because some Americans took out documents and unwanted and unneeded material to burn. And some of the material included a box or two of Qurans, and they had a conniption fit that Americans inadvertently burned a few Qurans. Well, here they're burning bookstores filled with Qurans. But, of course, they're pure hypocrites, so it doesn't apply to them. And they're not just setting fire to bookshops. These religious zealots are thieves. They're vandalizing and robbing the stores. They also attacked the ruling political office and also the nation's central mosque. The Dhaka's Daily Star newspaper reported the group hired at least 3,000 vehicles, including buses, lorries, and minibuses. The lorry would be a large truck. This is from the BBC, to bring demonstrators into the capital. So this is a little bit like the French Revolution. We're going to gather you up and send you in to do our bidding. They were again. This is another article. This one from the BBC saying they were chanting Allahu Akbar, which the BBC translates God is greatest. We went over that yesterday. That is completely nonsensical. Akbar does mean greatest, either greatest or most great. You can't say God is the greatest. To say God is great, well, that's not what Allahu Akbar means. It's at least a sensible statement. And it's not what God wants to hear, but it is a sensible statement. You can say, yeah, God is great. But God doesn't have any competitors. So God cannot be greater or greatest. Now, it is, in the case of this particular statement, Allahu Akbar actually means, wait for it, Allah is greatest. And as a chant, it was the Islamic prayer of fear. And it is specifically designed to say that Allah is greater than Yahweh, the God of the Jews. They continued to shout one point, one demand, all atheists must be hanged. And the word that they're really shouting is not atheist in the way that we would define atheist in the West. This is anyone who does not accept Allah as God and Muhammad as his prophet. And every one of them must be hanged. So even if you are not doing what is wise, which is to oppose Islam, you're not doing which is compassionate and courageous, exposing and condemning Islam, if you're just not a Muslim, these religious zealots are demanding that you be killed. The article from the BBC says that Hefazat-e-Islam is a coalition of around a dozen Islamist organizations. That's really not true. Seeking to impose stricter form of Islam on Bangladesh society, if their primary goal has always been to control women. That's how this group has grown up. The group is not very old, and it is its primary focus on is against women. The reason that in this particular case they're going against atheists is that atheism in this part of the world is seeking to advance women's rights. The movement draws its strength, this article reads, from the country's madrasas, or religious schools. Yeah, they're not just religious school. A madrasa is an Islamic religious school. It has issued a 13-point charter of demands, including greater segregation of men and women. It's not the greater segregation of men and women. It's the enslavement of women. Moving on to a neighbor. Suicide, and, you know, we're dealing with Bangladesh. What is Bangladesh's neighbor? Well, on one side you've got Miramar, and the other side you have Pakistan. We'll be at Miramar here in just a moment. But in Pakistan, a suicide bomber targeted an election rally organized by a religious party on Monday, murdering 25 people. The attack at a gathering of members of the Jamaat Ulama-e-Islam religious party wounded 75. The Taliban claimed responsibility for the bombing. So here's the Taliban, a fundamentalist Islamic terrorist organization, killing a fundamentalist Islamic political organization. Islam is a wonderful thing. You know, Islam continues to say that there will be war until the entire world surrenders to Islam. And that's a part of the Quran says that Muslims are ordered to continue to fight until only Allah is worshipped as God. So that has been the mantra, is there will continue to be war until everyone converts to Islam. Well, as you can see in Pakistan, that ain't so. That even when everyone is a Muslim, Muslims will be killing Muslims, because that's what Islam does best. Now we'll turn to Miramar, which is formerly Burma, bordered by Bangladesh, Laos, India, and China. Here after the break, because there's an interesting twist on things in the old nation known as Burma, where this time it isn't Muslims doing the killing, it's Buddhists.
On the average.
To Shattering This, I'm your host, Deanna. You can engage in this discussion by calling toll-free 877-300-7645. So there's a reason that I try to avoid saying that Muslims are responsible for 100% of terrorist attacks. They are responsible for something in the range of about 99% of terrorist attacks. There are certain kinds of attacks when you get to suicide bombings or bombings of a place that is filled with civilians, where you take a bomb, an improvised explosive device, and you put it in a backpack and you carry it to a crowded place with women and children and detonate it in a pressure cooker so that it spews nails and ball bearings into the bodies of the innocent victims. In that kind of an attack, you're dealing with 99.9% Islamic. But in terms of just overall terrorism, an armed group of militants terrorizing civilians, Muslims are only about 98 to 99% responsible for all of those kinds of terrorist acts perpetrated in the world today. And that's grown from about, in the range of 50% back in the 1960s, once OPEC began to refuel the fervor of Muslims and made it possible for Muslims to emerge from the poverty that Islam instills upon them, to lash out beyond its borders. And from the time that the United States began to aid and abet these terrorist organizations, so it's grown from about 60% to almost 99% terror. But there are some examples occasionally that pop up. Here is one in the former Burma. Myanmar is the new name, bordered, of course, by Bangladesh, which is the country we were just reading about, where Muslims are running amok. Here now, it is Buddhist monks who have killed 44 people, not all of them Muslims. Some of the killings were Muslims against the Buddhist monks, but 44 people have been killed, were killed in March alone. That's began a wave of unrest throughout the country that threatens to derail the country's new economic and political reforms. The Muslims are saying, we have a plan to defend ourselves, and that plan is that they have clubs and swords that they want to wield at the attacking Buddhists. In April, 8 people died when Muslim and Buddhist refugees clashed in an Indonesian immigration center. On April 30, one man killed was killed in riots and nearby villages north of a capital when a Muslim woman bumped into an 11-year-old novice monk who dropped his alms bowl, damaging it. I kid you not, that's what it says. That's what sparked all of this recently, is a Muslim woman bumped into an 11-year-old novice monk. He dropped his alms bowl and damaged it. Follow-up story, rioters attacked a mosque and Muslim businesses in central Myanmar, Burma, on Tuesday. The closest, a series of sectarian clashes have come to the center of the country as Muslims are fighting against Muslims against the majority Buddhists. In this particular country, unlike Bangladesh is 90% Islamic. In the case of Burma, the Buddhists are the vast majority and the Muslims are the minority. Roman gangs armed with bricks smashed mosque windows and looted dozens of shops after a Muslim woman collided here with this Buddhist monk. Sectarian clashes between Buddhists and Muslims, who make up about 5% of Burma's population, have regularly erupted since the quasi-civilian government took power in 2011. See, Burma was a dictatorship, pretty ruthless dictatorship. That's a tough part of the world when you're bordered by Bangladesh and Burma is essentially the peninsula where Vietnam is on one side and you've got Cambodia and Laos. Well, on the other side of that peninsula, bordering up against Bangladesh, is where Burma is, a tough place in the world. So they had a dictator. The dictator has been replaced, and now that the dictator has been replaced by a loving and compassionate government, sectarian violence is running amok. Rioting broke out in March, which has led to the death of now over 50 people, with 13,000 displaced. The article here is actually calling the monks radical. Now, that's a fairly odd concept, that a monk would be radical and is accusing monks of inciting anti-Muslim violence through speeches. And 7 Muslims are on trial, by the way, for having murdered a monk, which set off the riots in the first place. To Shattering Mist, we're talking about the rioting that is taking place in Burma, where this time it is monks that are killing Muslims, a very unique twist. But when you get down to the bottom of the stories on what actually transpired, the thing that started these riots in the first place was not the 11-year-old novice monk's alms bowl being knocked and therefore being damaged. No, that had really nothing to do with it. It's all to do with seven Muslim men who murdered a monk, and that is what set off the riots that now have claimed the lives of some 200 people, with 120,000 having been driven from their homes beginning last June of last year. And so, well, once again, it is the Muslims who caused the response. Not to say that it is appropriate for the monks, the Buddhists, to have responded in this way, although witnesses who have reported to the BBC are actually saying that for the most part, the monks are trying to subdue the crowd, not inflame the passions of the crowd. It's been interesting to follow the chatter on Islamic websites in the wake of the Boston bombing and the fact that the obvious turned out to be the case, that Muslims perpetrated it. There are now posters that are being circulated around the Caucasus region of Russia, particularly in Chechnya's capital, Grozny, that are honoring Tamerlane and his brother Jokhar Shanarev as, well, first they say underneath him in headlines, not guilty, and then they're honoring them as great heroes. It's sort of interesting the way that Islam works. They want to be declared innocent. They want it to be seen as if the United States perpetrated the bombing, and yet they want to take credit for the bombing in the name of Allah. But that is essentially what the posters are proposing. Here's some stories that over the last couple of weeks I just picked from a couple of reports. This first one reads, jihadist web forums lit up with anti-American celebrating, anti-American Muslims celebrating the terrorist attack at the Boston Marathon. According to Site Intelligence Group, which monitors the online web activities of Muslim groups and individuals, jihadists expressed their joy and hope that the blasts were acts of jihadi terrorism. So, I mean, immediately at the time of the attack, the jihadists around the world, the Muslims around the world, were celebrating the attack even before they knew that it was, in fact, a Islamic terrorist act. And then here's one quote. We thank Allah. We thank Allah at the start before the storm, said one user on a jihadist forum. May Allah give you the glad tidings of paradise for this joyous news. So by blowing the legs off a little girl, blowing the foot off of a dancer, blowing a three young people, two in their early 20s, one about 8 years old, killing them, mangling their bodies and killing them, and mutilating some 170 some odd others, that this is joyous news if you're a Muslim. So really all you need to do to understand that Islam is rotten to the core is look at what Muslims celebrate. One jihadist announced his desire to plan bombings in the United States, but was chastised by others for revealing such a plot publicly. That's one of the reasons we know that the Shanarev brothers were not working on behalf of, or were not being coordinated by a Islamic terrorist organization abroad, is that they posted on their various websites and personal pages speeches of jihadists who were endorsing this kind of terrorism. And in the case of more sophisticated Islamic plots that are being planned abroad and perpetrated in the United States, they all say the same thing. Keep a low profile. The last thing you want is to announce in advance what you're going to do. That's how the feds, 100% of the cases, the way that the feds stop Islamic terrorism in the some 20 events since 9/11 in New York alone that have been stopped, They've all been stopped or for one of two reasons. Either the FBI, monitoring their web presence, saw that these people were frequenting websites that were promoting Islamic terrorism and simply went in a sting operation, or they were incompetent. The bombs that they attempted to detonate failed. That would be the case of the underwear bomber and the most recent bomber in Times Square in New York. So this goes on to say that in the answer al Mujahideen, Mujahideen would be holy warriors in Allah's cause, that they reports that a series of jihadists tried to recruit members for similar attacks to the 9/11 strikes, but focused on suicide bombings, and others responding to him said, you can't use this kind of a forum to recruit for that kind of plan, otherwise the feds will come in and arrest you. Other reporting responding to the explosions on the Ansar al-Mujahideen, the Al-Fida, and the Sumak al-Islam forums, jihadists circulated the pictures in the immediate aftermath, showing great joy over the mutilated people and the bloody sidewalk, and hope that more bombings would follow. Administrators of the Sumak al-Islam, which is a top-tier jihadist forum, I don't know how you become top-tier, but I guess a heavily trafficked Islamic jihadist forum, placed the scrolling messages immediately after the bombing. Urgent, great casualties and injuries in an explosion that shook the U.S. state of Boston. Last time I checked, Boston was not a state. And a state of panic, I guess that's the new term for Massachusetts, and chaos spreads across America and the general. Yeah, that's a little bit overstated, but that's what Muslims do. The second, giving an oft-repeated statement, I swear by Allah the Great, and it would be, I swear by Allah the Greatest, and it would be, I swear, Allahu Akbar, who raised the sky without pillars. This is a reference to one of the Quran. There's about 20 different creation accounts in the Quran and Hadith. They're all comical. For those who would be interested, I would encourage you to go to prophetofdoom.net. I compare them to Dr. Seuss's One Fish, Two Fish, Red Fish, Blue Fish. One of them talks about raising the sky without pillars. Pillars would have been helpful, but Allah opted not to use pillars to hold up the sky. That America and those who live in America will not dream of security until we live it as a reality. And Palestine, by the way, there is no place called Palestine. The Muslims who are writing this are not the mythical people known as the Palestinians. They have no interest in the so-called Palestinians. When the so-called Palestinians lived as part of Egypt and in Gaza and part of Jordan in the West Bank, they were treated as pariahs. They were despised and hated. They were given no rights. And now that that Israel is there, of course, all of a sudden they're a cause celeb. So the line goes, we'll live as a reality in Palestine, and until all disbelieving armies, this would be an army that is associated with anyone other than Allah, are expelled from the land of Muhammad. Allah's peace and prayer be upon him. The land of Muhammad would be right now any American troops or European troop presence, any place in a region where a majority of Muslims live, which would be anywhere in the Middle East, including, from their perspective, Israel, any place in northern Africa. The a Somali jihadist group, Al-Shabaab, mocked the victims of the bombings on their Twitter accounts and compared the attack to American military operations abroad. Another article reads, a review of recent jihadist web postings show that several terrorists stated that they were poised to attack the U.S. on American soil soon. As an example, Abdallah Drew Al Bajadeen wrote in an online jihadist website last month, "We strike you on your own turf and show ourselves to be more dangerous than you expect with operations that dazzle your security experts." You know, I have said that the one thing that Islam is good at is killing. Well, there's other things that Islam is also good at, so I need to correct myself. Islam is particularly good at causing morons to pretend that they are geniuses. He predicted that 2010 would conduct a poison gas attack inside of the United States. This is the same fellow. Obviously, he did not come through. Another online report from April 1st of this year quoted Ahmed Laden, who posted a YouTube video urging the White House to withdraw all troops from Saudi Arabia by May 31st. If not, the jihadists announced plans for a thunderous war against all vital sectors in America. "You are forcing us to escalate and destroy your country and its people," the video stated. Arrogance is the hallmark of Islam, as is killing. The first issue, this article is telling us some things that is probably worth us reviewing. We've talked about these things before. But as these, the first issue of Inspire magazine, published in July of 2010, contained an article on how to construct a bomb in a kitchen that will later be undetectable to sniffer dogs. The article headlined, "Make a Bomb in Your Kitchen of Your Mom Urges Jihadists in the United States and Europe to Work Inside the West," such as in such operations as Nidal Hassan. Remember Nidal Hassan? This is someone that America never wants to say, "Oh, there's never been an Islamic terrorist attack on the United States, not since old 9/11. Well, Nidal Hassan was the psychiatrist that decided to scream Allahu Akbar while killing about a dozen people in Fort Hood in Texas, and they also are honoring Fasil Shahzad. Fasil Shahzad is the underwear bomber of Christmas Day fame. I have misstated that. Fasil Shahzad is actually the failed Times Square bomber. He's the fellow that filled his SUV with explosives, a bomb very similar in design to the bomb that detonated in Boston. But he had a problem with his timer and fuse, and it didn't go off. We'll return to this story after the break. Good morning. Welcome back to Shattering Myths. We're covering a story that is a reading out of Inspire magazine, which is a fundamentalist Islamic website urging Muslims in America and in Europe to perpetrate terrorist acts like we witnessed in Boston. Their motivation, of course, is Islam. It is their sole motivation. In one place on their site, they write, "My Muslim brother." They weren't writing fellow Boy Scouts. They weren't writing Baptist Christians. "My Muslim brother. We are conveying to you our military training." Now, this is not military training. To think that terrorism is a military act is a stretch. Now, I'm not saying that terrorism hasn't been used by the military. The United States, the North, prevailed against the South by using terrorism with the Sherman's March to the Sea. That's what effectively ended the Civil War. America ended the war in the Pacific in World War II by acts of terrorism. We specifically targeted civilian populations. We bombed Japanese cities every night for 60 straight nights, firebombing them, killing civilians en masse, women and children in particular. And so it's not that terrorism can't be used as a military tactic, but if it's your primary tactic, chances are you are not a member of an army, but instead of a member of a terrorist organization. Anyway, it says, "We are conveying to you, dear Muslim brother, our military training right in your kitchen to relieve you of the difficulty of traveling to us," the article states, adding that All you have to do is enter your kitchen and make an explosive device that would damage the enemy. The Inspire article says that gunpowder placed in a pressure cooker, gunpowder is very easily purchased at some many different kinds of stores across the country, particularly black powder, very easily purchased. And also gunpowder is used in fireworks. And so in the large fireworks, you can also open them up and use the explosives from them as well. And it says that gunpowder placed in a pressure cooker can be used as a bomb. The pressurized cooker is the most effective method, the article said. Glue shrapnel to the inside of the pressurized cooker, which is precisely what happened with the Boston Marathon bomb, which is why I knew that it was a Muslim that perpetrated it. And fill the cooker with inflammable material. A light bulb can be used as a detonator, it says. Place the device in a crowded area. Camouflage the device with something that would not hinder the shrapnel such as cardboard, or put it in a backpack. As a matter of fact, the shrapnel they describe as BBs and nails. You also need to make certain that the shrapnel is included. The best shrapnel, the article says, are spherical-shaped ones. Also, sniffing dogs are not trained to recognize these things as bomb-making ingredients. In one or two days, the bomb could be ready to kill at least 10 people. In a month, you can make a bigger and more lethal one that could kill tens of people. Lovely, huh? That's all from Dear Muslim Brother. The article went on to explain that there are two types of explosives that can be made from kitchen materials, and the chemicals and mechanical blasts that are available in the kitchen, and revealed how to make a pipe bomb from match heads and sugar. Of course, the Boston bomb was made in the tiny, tiny apartment kitchen of Tamerlane, with his wife, of course, being there. It's impossible that she could have not seen what they were doing. It's impossible that she said, "Oh, honey, it's so nice that you'd be playing all these pressure cookers and going to be preparing for dinner for us, but I'm just want to ask you a question, dear. Why are you putting the gunpowder, nails, and BBs into these pressure cookers?" Yeah, of course, she had no idea what they were doing. Reuters, a suicide bomber rammed an explosive-laden car into a convoy carrying Qatari officials through the center of Somalia, Somalia's capital of Mogadishu, killing at least 8 Somalis. The Islamic group Al-Shabaab said that it was behind the attack. Of course, the suicide bomber, he had no idea what he was doing. When we turn to the French and their escapades in northern Africa, they announced last week that a French Islamist convert is now leading the Islamist rebels in Mali. It says that in this particular case that he became an Islamist because he was a loser. Sounds like he's reading the same playbook that is being used now to describe the motivation of the Shannaref brothers. They were losers, and because they were losers, they became radicals, and because they became radicals, they became bombers. It is the fact that the thing that this man had was Islam.
Springtime is sale time at Herbal Healer Academy. Current customers know this is the time to save big and stock up at herbalhealer.com. New customers, welcome.